It's like Crocodile Dundee if Paul Hogan were shredded like lettuce and had eyes that could pierce your soul. Jamie?
Hubba hubba.
Let's go watch Tarzan in Manhattan. Welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies. We are an 80s movie podcast where every other week we're watching a different movie from the 80s and then we're talking about it. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Doug McCambridge. And with me, as always, wearing glass slippers for some reason.
Oh, yeah, I don't understand what her role was in that move, that party situation. It was a costume party. Yeah. She was Cinderella. Is that right?
Yeah, Jamie, I don't like. It was just a costume party, right? Like, there was no theme.
No.
Tarzan seemed very out of place in this. Like, it seemed like a period piece costume
ball.
That's
what was tricky. So I thought they called it a costume party so that they can have Tarzan just freely run around in his loincloth. But nobody else was in, like, it was like you said, a period piece costume then. So right. He definitely still stuck out. Because I was like, I guess they're doing the costume party so that he's okay to just wear what he wears.
But exactly. This would have made even more sense if it was like an Eyes Wide Shut party, because you'd be like, oh, that guy's wearing no clothes. Right. I totally get it. Or if it was like a frat Halloween party, if that's where they were trying to break into, he would seem more. Why all eyes were on her and not him?
Right. That's what I wondered. I'm like, she looked cute in that dress, but hubba hubba anybody.
She looked fine in the dress, but there's a naked man who is chiseled out of marble. In your party, and nobody seems to notice or care. And the way Tony Curtis is sashaying around.
Later when he's doing his investigative work and he has that weird, like, Super Mario mustache on.
He looks like Mario's uncle. It's so bizarre. I like later his office explodes and he still has the whole getup on with the mustache. And I was like, was that burned off of his face during the violent explosion that doesn't kill him, but a file cabinet fell on him.
Knocked him a bit unconscious. That's an inconvenience. Yeah, knocked him a bit unconscious and it's touch and go.
I hope no one in my family ever goes into a coma, but I want you to go with me so you can say to the doctor, so they're unconscious? And the doctor has to go, no, it's a coma. And you're like, so unconscious. When she says to the doctor, is he going to be okay? And the doctor goes, it's too early to tell. And Tarzan goes, is he going to die? The doctor immediately has to go, it's too early to tell.
Tarzan, again, grew up in the jungle. So he doesn't have all the social skills that, you know, that you want him to, you know?
No, I also didn't know what this movie. Am I supposed to be laughing? Are parts of this supposed to be funny? Is this supposed to be serious?
I think you're supposed to get a little chuckle out of it more so than not. But I guess also, there's those moments like the flashbacks when he's having the nightmares after catching the fever from the gunshot wound.
Yeah, I think he had an infection.
What was happening?
It was more severe than, oh no, he has a little.
He was like fever dreams, though. It was like, and then he was like having his mom, and we saw the flashback with the killing of his real mama and the airplane ride. And
how old is Tarzan? She shows him a picture of his parents. It looks like it was taken in 1927.
Well, you don't age a lot in the jungle, you know? They've got great skincare there. Hold on.
I guess. I want a movie. Like, I almost tried to think of this as a sequel to that Bo Derek movie, but I'm like, no, nothing makes sense.
No.
Tarzan crashed. Like, he knows English right away in this movie. Like, he has friends that live in town.
Yeah, he's got that one on the island that he hangs out with who takes him to the airport and then is like, good luck in New York.
It's like, good luck in New York. Also, you can't take this giant knife on a plane. I know you don't understand airplane etiquette.
But well, and what about the shady looks he gets from the airport personnel too?
Why do they throw him in prison immediately?
I don't know.
For what?
Because he's so damn good looking. You shouldn't be that good looking to be traveling these friendly skies.
I guess. I assume on his passport it said his parents are monkeys. And they're like, we got to lock this dude up. Because he has a passport too.
Yeah, I wondered how did that. I was like, happen? Did we expedite that? Or how did that? Did he know he was going to be traveling? He's like, I need to go to New York.
Yeah, I needed a thing that just said like 6 months later at the bottom of the screen when he shows up at the airport. Because I'd be like, oh, it came in the mail by then and everything was good.
Tarzan's always ready for travel. All right, so is it Tarzan Takes Manhattan? Is that what it is? No,
it should be. He took over my Manhattan. it's Tarzan in Manhattan from 1989. And just the idea that people were like, I don't know. What should we make for a TV movie? And somebody pitched this idea and everyone was on board is amazing to me.
Right? I mean, we wanted to see this jungle guy. They call him Jungle Man, right? In the city. What's interesting is, I'm sure you read this, this guy, Joe Lara, yeah. He went on to make more Tarzan TV show, right? That came out in the 90s. I mean, he definitely had his Tarzan look.
And then it said, like, did you see a thing where it was like Tarzan, more Tarzan TV movie? Or no, he made a Tarzan TV show. Mm-hmm. And then in parentheses, it's like unrelated to the
Yes.
Like, all right. You didn't need to say that. It was fine.
Exactly.
And I don't want to be a big bummer here, but he died in a plane crash.
Not far from where my place is in Tennessee.
I was gonna ask you if it was near your
Percy Place or Percy Priest Lake, and he lived in Brentwood. And I read about that. Super sad. He was the pilot of this like small plane, and
it did say there was a pilot. Like he had his pilot's license, but it expired. But then there was another pilot whose license also expired on the plane. Yeah.
Yeah, there was
and
some.
It was like him and his wife and like his son-in-law. So I guess his daughter's okay.
No, I don't know if it was the like wife's kid from another marriage or something like that.
Oh,
yeah, there
okay.
was a thing. All there right. was a thing. I did the same thing. I'm like, who is this guy? Looked him up and then I was like, and so he went from his acting career to that's why he was in Nashville. He became a country music singer.
Yeah.
And his wife was a big Christian lady. Did you see the picture of her?
Oh my God.
Yeah, the hair.
I couldn't believe the picture of her. Because if a maniac like that can bag a total hunk of meat like this.
Yeah.
It should give hope to everyone out there. You can like just find a big handsome dummy that you can convince to marry you.
Yeah, so
also the bad guy in this, Jan Michael Vincent, I don't know if you looked into him. Mm. He also died tragically young.
Goodness.
Lots of drugs, lots of alcohol, lots of car. He had like 3 serious car accidents.
Yikes.
And I'm going to say upwards of 25 DUIs.
Whoa.
In his life. This guy was he was in rough shape there.
Oh.
And he didn't last long. But the female lead, Jane.
Yeah.
She's a Broadway star.
Yeah, she does musicals, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't
she
bust into some Tarzan song in this?
Why was she not singing? She's always projecting. Mm-hmm. Every time she talks, she is yelling.
Yeah, you can definitely see where she's made for the stage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I caught that too. And then, of course, we have the sweet Tony Curtis.
Giving it everything 100%. He's got for this shitty TV
he's
movie.
He's like, monkeys, TV movies, Tarzan, I'm here for it all.
The fact that this movie ends with Tony Curtis hugging a monkey was the best.
Not just hugging the monkey, truly enjoying his time with the monkey.
He sits on a couch at one point and shares a plate of raisins with a monkey. And I was like, I could watch an hour and a half of this. I could watch an hour and a half of Tony Curtis and a monkey just hanging out. Because he really seems to enjoy playing opposite a
1,000%. All right.
Wow.
Well,
okay, let's do it. Let's dig into this. I'm going to say hidden gem that everybody can find on like Tubi or
I watched it on YouTube.
I watched it on YouTube, but man, there were ads near the end. There were ads every like minute and a half.
Yeah, it does
really
get crazy
obnoxious.
With the ads. Yeah. our opening is just really getting to know the life of Tarzan in the jungle, swinging in the vines as we expect, hanging out with all kinds of jungle animals like the giraffe, and doing all kinds of swimming in the water, sniffing things.
He sniffs things all the time. Well, the end here
when he's
movie.
Trying to sniff out where the animals are in that lab is a little bit. We get a little
when he sniffs a random cigar in New York City and goes, I've smelled this before. In the jungles of Africa, I smelled this cigar. Knows. Must be the same guy. It's like, Tarzan, you're taking a leap there, honestly.
No, he's got that sense, that animal instinct, that animalistic sense of smell. But it does look like he's got a fun little life. He does have a... Of course, it's ape month for us, so we can't just have an ape man. We have to have an actual ape in this movie, and there is. Cheetah is the chimp's name that is kind of his buddy. Of course, you know, there's many.
Cheetah's
also,
very cute. Mm-hmm. Cheetah's great. Very he saves cute. Cheetah from a possible snake attack in the water.
Alligator. Alligator.
Alligator, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Although he's a man of the wild, he's made friends with some of the locals. Joseph is his local, the local shop owner guy that just comes in to kind of check on him and invite him over for dinner.
This idea, based on the other Tarzan we've seen, I'm watching this guy swing around. I'm like, oh, this is a lot like that Tarzan. Suddenly, an elderly man wanders out of the woods and is like, hey, Tarzan, I got those new books you wanted. And Tarzan's like, great. I'm going to take these up into my treehouse, but maybe I'll stop by your place for dinner tonight. And I was like, what am I even watching right now?
Yeah, what is happening? This is Tarzan acclimating to his community.
Yeah.
And the people in it. And yeah, he's got this... shop owner that kind of looks out for him. And it doesn't seem like people are freaked out by him because he goes into the shop later and they're not like, oh, Jungle Man is here.
It is weird. Right? He hides like, oh, I can't let these people see me. Yeah. But I'm like, wait, you're just a total hunk in a loincloth. Like, I don't understand why anybody would be freaked out.
Right? You're a hunk in a loincloth.
this guy's... eyes and almost like expressionless face. Like you can tell there's nothing going on behind those eyes, but boy, captivating.
I agree. I agree.
Can't get over it. So
mesmerized.
Yes.
Well, we get to see his sweet little life. And then right away, I think the monkey is enjoying the chimp cheetah is enjoying a banana feast.
Yes.
And that's me smelling.
No, I
can't. Tarzan can smell trouble afoot.
Yes.
And I think it's poachers, right?
I guess. Well, it's not really poachers. No, we find out what their plan is later.
Oh, true.
The biggest question mark I've ever had in a movie. Me, who knows nothing about science or really not much at all, was like, I don't think you gain the wisdom of a creature by eating its brain. You're really, really just making up nonsense to make this guy a villain. Just make him... I don't understand why he has to cut monkeys' brains out for this movie. Just make him a collector of exotic animals.
That's
enough
right.
for me to not like him.
Exactly. And enough for me to know that he's... Yeah, but the whole experiment there with the eating of the brain, it's a little...
And the fact that the brain is on like a dinner plate is
very
strange. But yeah, they're hunting for monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess... So they want really smart monkeys. They want chimpanzees, right? So they take Cheetah. Are you okay? Are you going to make it through this?
I
don't know that you're going to. So they're going to take... Cheetah, but I guess this other ape, clearly a tiny man in a costume, gets in their way, and so they have to
protecting
gun this
Cheetah.
Thing down. Yes,
I think he too is protecting Cheetah, but there's a difference. Remember, we kind of learned this: Cheetah is a chimpanzee, and it's a gorilla. I think is the other animal, right?
Or
I'm the other?
Say yes. A very tiny gorilla. I have to say, when Tarzan runs over this gorilla, I'm like, that's half your size. Is that a real gorilla?
Tarzan hears the screams I think he can't find, right? Yeah, he can't find Cheetah.
No.
And he sees the big gorilla guy or the small gorilla guy.
It's a
Kava. It's a woman. Kava, I think, is his name. Yes. Or, right?
Yeah. I don't know what its name is. I missed this part in the movie. The joy, the laugh that I let out alone watching this in my basement, because I guess I was probably taking notes, so I missed what was happening on screen. When he gets to New York and he tells the woman, these poachers shot my mother, I was like, that was his mother, that monkey? I missed the part where he's yelling for mom and stuff like
that. Well, when he goes and finds, so he, when all of this happens, he's out fishing, Tarzan is, because he's supposed to bring fish to dinner with his pal Joseph. And he smells trouble, and I think he hears the gunshots.
Yeah.
And he goes running, and he gets down on his knees and screams, Mama, to this dead gorilla, the finding of the dead gorilla.
It's so great. I also love with these Tarzan movies how they just use the Tarzan yell from like the old movies from the 30s. Like, I love it. And I remember the one with Bo Derek, the guy didn't sell it very well. This big, handsome dummy does a great job.
He looks like he's really doing it. Yeah, it's pretty great. That's the call that he does after he finds his dead mama, right?
He's always doing that. He does that call a lot in the jungle, and maybe only once in New York.
He does and pounds his chest. He does one where he
pounds his chest. Pounding his chest when he punches out the villain of the movie was also pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And also, pretty sexy.
You don't have to tell me.
I don't
want to say anything bad about this actress. I'm sure she's an amazing Broadway star, but it really was something. As you compared the two Tarzans, I compared the two Janes, and I was like, I cannot take my eyes off this man, because you kind of have, no pun intended, plain Jane here next to him.
Yeah.
Which I guess that's refreshing in a way, where she's just supposed to be like street smart. And sometimes she has to put on New York accent.
Well, she's a New York cat. Right. Well, because she is funny, because she's the only one, even out of all the extras, everyone. Tony Curtis does Tony Curtis.
Yeah.
But she lays her New York accent on thick sometimes. Yes. And it's pretty fun, actually.
It's pretty fun because it's so intermittent. And it's like, well, you didn't keep the right takes for these scenes for her performance to line up.
Well, that's all right, though. We're really in it for the, we know she's a wisecracking cabbie who
who's a computer scientist also. She went to like school for something. She's like, oh, I have a doctorate in computer science or something, but I drive cabs. My dad doesn't like it. Also, we're not there yet, so maybe we're not there yet.
No, okay. First we have to get him to New York, and once he realizes that his mama died and his chimp cheetah is gone, he finds the car or the jeep that belonging to the bad guys. We'll say he finds the matches. The matchbook is from a restaurant in New York City, and he goes to his pal Joseph, and he's like, "How do I get here? I need to go. What do we do?" And like you said, I'm amazed at the ease that a jungle man can find himself the proper documents to board an international flight. Yeah, exactly. Good for him.
Yes. I also like the fact that Joseph's like, you should probably put pants on too.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I'll get you the ticket. Like, I'll put you on the plane, but you can't go looking like this. So it gets him tight jeans, and he gets him like a tight wife beater. And then there goes Tarzan. On his way to New York with the song Leave My Monkey Alone playing, which I found delightful.
Pretty great. Off into the air as he goes. Now Joseph, as a good friend, makes sure, like you said, that he's got pants and that he knows not to take his knife or weapons on board.
Right.
He also does a, hey, you got some cash on your check? And Tarzan has like a bag of jewels that he is going to take with him. And Joseph seems okay with that.
Joseph like, that's is gonna work. Fine with it. He's like, great, because I'm not giving you any money.
Well, even
I bought
later,
you a plane ticket, dude.
When he does catch the cab, Jane's cab, and she's like, you don't have clothes on. How are you going to pay for it? He shows her some ring, and she's like, all right, that'll work. I'm like, will it?
How does that work for you? You work for a cab company. Are you going to go to your boss and be like, I don't know, a guy gave me this. It's good enough. I told him it was good enough to drive him to like Jersey City or something.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It looks like chintzy crap,
too. It does. It does. But he's confident that this little bag of goods is going to get in places. And anyway, so yes.
I like it at the end when he hands her like a pearl necklace and she doesn't say, oh, thanks for this sack of shit. She's like overwhelmed with this.
Well, that was because the one that belonged to his mother. I know. Right. We've got so many relationship things we dive into.
This movie is so layered.
It is. Okay, so we've got this great song that leads us on his adventure. But literally, as soon as he arrives at the airport, like customs takes him away and he's thrown in jail. I don't know why either.
I need something.
Maybe they found weapons in his luggage or maybe. Because
he hands his passport to the guy and then suddenly security comes out, grabs him and takes him away into, like you said, I guess I have no idea what prison this is. Overlooking the Hudson. And the prison guards give up very easily that a guy escaped.
Yeah, they don't. Well, they're like, this guy with the loincloth, whatever.
How far is he going to get? It's clearly winter in New York City in this movie.
Well, they shoot at him. He's in jail, but we don't have a big, long jail scene. We just see him enough, like, in what seems like a holding cell, because he shares it with a bunch of other dudes. He has had enough. He doesn't want to wait anymore because he's there to find his monkey. And this is,
Are you okay? Are you just thinking about him taking his pants off?
I was just thinking about saying he's finding his monkey. Yeah. And then, the way he just, he just drops trowel. He just takes his pants off because he's like, I can't take it anymore. And he gets frustrated. And even in the jail cell, the guys are like,
whoa, what's about to happen? And I'm like, what? Just taking the show, dude.
Let's just look at it, guys. See where this is going. Let's just not get too excited yet. So he takes his pants off and he's got his little loincloth on and he just literally like busts the window. Yeah,
he rips the entire grate off the window and then jumps out, I don't know, 4,000 feet into the river.
A rushing river. And they still, when the cops see him, and it's funny because the other inmates just look, they're not going to take that jump. They're just like, oh, that he's crazy.
They're in a holding cell. They're like, I'm in the drunk tank. I'll be out of here tomorrow by noon.
Right, right.
Like, and I don't know what this guy's all
perhaps he had the same fate, but either way, he's jumped in the water and they shoot at him from in the water. And his, like you said, he's got this like kind of dumb blank stare that he does, but it's so damn good looking that you don't even care.
All you need. The casting is incredible because if you need someone to not understand what's happening all the time in this movie, a big dummy that just stares straight ahead and appears to be confused all the time.
But with those
and just looks great.
Beautiful eyes, like the ocean.
Those eyes, we talk about eyes way too much on the podcast. I want to make a ranking at some point. I'll sit here with like a big board and we'll have people's names. It'll be like a fantasy football draft. And we'll just draft eyes that we've had on these movies.
There's been quite a few. These were pretty dreamy though. I'm just going to say
Yeah. And those cheekbones. This guy.
That hair, the wave that he had going on. I was like, what is the product? Because this hair
is not the hair of a man who lives in the jungle.
No. How does he counteract that frizz? I want to know. As a woman with curly hair, I want to know. It's not a crunchy curl. It's a soft, beautiful face framing. Anyway.
It is face framing.
I can go on for hours at how aesthetically pleasing this Tarzan is.
I'll look through. I'll find all the movies in the 80s that this dude was in, and we'll make sure we get to them.
Okay. Anyway. All right. So he is out of jail. He is swimming through the waters. And next thing we know, right, pretty much, He's swimming under the bridge, and then he's on like a Times Square.
He jumps on a bus.
Oh, he's on the top of the bus. That's right.
Yeah, and then he at some point, just, I don't know, is like, well, I guess I should probably get off this bus, and jumps onto a fire escape, and that's where he sleeps.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the next day is the day where he, on the bus, he also sees someone hailing a cab, so he thinks he knows how to do right. it, and he finally gets a cab to take him to, like, a fancy, to the club where the matchbook is right, from, right? Right. Yes. But now we meet Jane.
Yes. And she is a, I guess, no-nonsense taxi cab driver from New York, right? What'd you say?
I guess.
But she, too, how do you really, she can't be tough, and if she is, for other cabbie customers. Again, this... a hunk of man with his loincloth hops in her car, and she's like, well, hello, where are you going? And basically, I mean, she's ready to, she's like, I'll just stick around and wait for you and make sure, you know, that you're okay. She's not trying to leave this
no,
guy
no, she's
behind.
Not gonna listen. I assume he did hand her a garbage ring, and she's like, oh yeah, this'll pay for
this
whatever
is great.
You want.
Yeah, yeah,
just,
yeah.
Just don't leave my side.
Yeah.
Also, I'm now your caretaker. I'm on this adventure with you. Unprompted, I'm gonna go everywhere with you. Let's start by perhaps paying for a suit with this jewelry.
That's how she's gonna do it, with the family jewels. They go on a little well, not quite.
There's no pretty woman
no,
moment.
There's no
I know
woman.
You're. I know because
would've been sweet.
You're putting maybe, but also you're putting more clothes on this guy.
Yeah,
I'm just
yeah.
waiting the whole time. I'm like, those are too much clothes for Tarzan.
Don't we want to do a hot tub scene? Maybe where he gets ready to put the clothes on or post shopping.
The amount of times
tubby
in this
time.
Movie. We mentioned very quickly her New York accent, but at one point she's like, I've waited my whole life for a line like that.
Oh,
let
yeah.
me hold on to your loincloth.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
Wow. And then that kind of dies out.
Yeah. Yeah. She keeps it yeah. strongly at some points. It's true.
Oh, yeah. I wrote down she has a master's degree in computer science.
Oh, she does say that. Okay.
I thought that was going to come into play. It really doesn't. Like, she breaks into a room through the key code thing at one point.
That's
when
I got a little lost. When they were in all of their sort of detective-y adventures, I was like, what are we really trying to do here, guys?
I mean, they were dressed in costumes. That wasn't helping the
scene. With her little fancy ball gown. Well,
it helped me a little bit. But you're right. I wasn't too... Once they're running around in like a super secret basement. I'm like, okay, we don't need this.
Exactly. We're getting way too deep
yeah.
into like,
I don't need a
gun know,
fight
yeah.
in this Tarzan movie.
Right. Exactly. We're already way too. So she's a cab driver with this degree.
Yes.
And when she says to him, what do you do? He's very Buddhist. He's like, I just am.
Yeah.
That's what I am. And he does introduce himself as Tarzan. What does he call himself? The man of the jungle, the king of the jungle. Does he call himself?
Probably the king of the jungle. I don't know. That seems a little arrogant for Tarzan.
I don't think he says king, but he does like, he's got a like title
probably
for himself.
Probably the human of the jungle. I don't know. Yeah. It's probably whatever the, did you notice, did you write down when he's giving her his backstory and he's like, yeah, whatever. There was a plane crash and apes raised me after my parents died in a plane crash. And he says that, she asks him how many languages he speaks. And he's like, I speak ape. I speak hippopotamus. He mentions a few. It's pretty great because that's right before he gets his suit.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
Yes.
They do. He does have some fun little gems that she drops, even when what does she say about him being funny? She's like, and he goes, well, my friend does say I have a sense of humor. I'm like, oh, all right.
Like, which friend is this?
Joseph,
your
his
friends
one friend.
Are not telling you the truth.
His one friend. He's in the cab with her. And he's, first of all, he's blown away watching a man on a skateboard. And the man on the skateboard freaks out the horses. And then he's got this little action scene he does where he jumps out of the cab or kind of makes her drive. And she's down for it. She's like, all right, what are we doing? And he Tarzans the horses, basically.
That's where he says, follow that horse. And she's like, I've been waiting
oh, that's when she
says,
yeah.
to do a line like that. Yeah. But she dolls them all up,
mm-hmm.
and you don't need to do much. You just need to put a little more clothes on this guy to take him to this fancy schmancy club or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They go upstairs. It really doesn't come to anything. Like, he sees a guy smoking a cigar. He smells it. he's like, oh, this is the same kind of cigar. Then they're asked to leave, and they do.
Well, he also sees he sees that, like, anybody can get these matches. Like, he kind of realizes.
Where they're just
like,
in a fishbowl
yes,
by the door.
Yes, right? He kind of yes. realizes, like, how, you know. And she's very, like, she's not, she's like, yeah, but we could still find the one. Like, because he's like, it could be anybody. And yeah.
He doesn't seem all that bummed out. There's not much emotion with him, in case we haven't made that clear.
Right.
So he's not all that upset. It's like, well, I guess anybody in the city could get these matches.
Right.
I don't know. What do you want to do? And she's like, stay at my place.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, you should at least spend the night because where are you going to go otherwise?
And I did. In a movie that I think at times were trying to be funny, and I really found it. I found it funny for unintentional reasons, of course. Mm-hmm. And I was entertained watching it. I have to say, I really enjoyed it where she said that he can sleep on the couch. And he's like, I don't think that'll work. And she's like, oh, well, I mean, if you want to, like, I'm
yeah, she,
down.
Like, touches like, his chest. And she's like, I mean, okay.
Yes. And just that he's like, no, I'm going to sleep on that metal thing outside.
Yeah, the fire
is
escape.
That cool?
Yeah, I'll go out there. And she's like, oh, I mean, yeah. I guess.
I really found that funny how just like immediately, and there's not a second in her head where she's like, maybe this is a little too soon. She's like,
I would
great,
too.
Great idea. Oh, no, yeah. I get it. And that's why, I don't know, I found it so real in a weird way.
In a movie about Tarzan being in Manhattan. Yeah, you had a very. Right. So she also helps him figure out. So you can't tell that he's disappointed. But his idea of just finding the guy at the restaurant's not going to work. Right. But she does think because she mentions her dad being a detective or an old cop or something. And she opens the matchbook and she finds a phone number inside.
Yes.
And they call that phone number and they find it to be part of the Brightmore Foundation. Brightmore. I like how clever that is. And when she finds out that is a... that's the place. She's like, well, that's a charity. That's they're not doing bad things. They're not, this. But don't worry, we'll figure this all out. So that's her first. Your first indicator that she has got this sort
it's
of
the small town of Manhattan. Yeah. Everybody knows what's going
exactly.
on. Everybody knows
you
each
pick
other.
Things up real quick too. All right. So let's see. Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, we gotta meet some
next morning
characters here.
Okay. So we've been rested, and now she's decided to take a shower. She's going to go get herself cleaned up, and she's got the music for him and gives him a remote, and he is overwhelmed by technology. The music is a bit much. What else?
The answering machine
goes off.
Can I stop you real quick? You glossed over a group of characters that are hanging around outside of her building.
Oh, those downstairs guys.
I'm going to say these graffiti artists / sexual predators who look like they're in Culture Club.
Yeah.
Like these guys do not look threatening or intimidating at all.
Mm-mm.
But they do like threaten her, and then he gets out and he, he picks up the one guy by his throat. And therefore, crisis averted, kind of, because these goons hang around through the entire movie and then are best friends by the end.
Yeah, they're kind of part of everything, right?
They're less intimidating than that gang in Short Circuit 2.
I was thinking about the gangs in that, what was that rapper movie? Right?
The gangs in that rapper movie would beat the fuck out of these guys. The rapping gangs would laugh hysterically at how comically unthreatening these guys are.
But essentially, they hang out outside of her building.
Yes.
And they quit whatever little harassment, friendly or not, they are doing to her once Tarzan rolls up.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is just kind of played for laughs and this is funny. But later, I think they go upstairs to knife him to death in his sleep.
I didn't think, oh, yeah, they do.
They like grab her and are like, where's that freak that you came up here with?
Yeah.
And they have all these weapons on them.
But I thought, oh, yeah, those are the same guys. IDK.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
And
they only got in because their dad broke the door.
Yes.
So...
She's got a great New York apartment, by the way. Super cute place. Her
Friends-esque New York City apartment this cab driver can afford is pretty great. There are so many just different levels to this thing.
Yeah, she's got a little lofty-looking bedroom area.
Yep.
But then this great, big, spacious front door's really rad.
I love, it's like there's two steps to get to here. There's three steps to get to here. You got five steps to go up to this part.
There's brick walls involved. Yeah it's pretty groovy, pretty groovy space.
But you're saying, you were starting to say that she's like, I got to get a shower because look at you. Like,
yeah,
I got to
keep hosing this down. Yeah.
That's exactly. Uh-huh. And she's like, don't answer the phone. There's a remote, there's an answering machine for the phone. You probably don't know what that is. Here's the TV remote. I got to go. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know he doesn't know how to use a phone, but you're like, here's a remote. And I think we're supposed to be laughing our asses off that he turns everything on.
Right. Super loud. Yeah. He didn't know what to do.
I didn't like it.
No, I was just as overwhelmed as he was. I was like, it's too much noise. Stop. And in the meantime, her father, she gets a message on the machine from her father, who's going to come upstairs and check on her. he says, I'm on my way over to check on you.
Tony Curtis breaks into her apartment, kicks down the door, basically, gun drawn.
Gun in hand,
And is about to shoot this man when she comes out of the shower and she's like, Dad, don't shoot him. And Tony Curtis, he's got driver's gloves on, like leather gloves, a leather jacket, tight jeans, like jeans that somebody over the age of 40, let alone 70, should not be wearing. And his hair is incredible.
Yeah, it looks great. It's a beautiful, like, silver fox look that he's got going.
If you've seen late-stage Tony Curtis, you know what you're getting. But his getup, when they go outside to eat a hot dog later, and he's dressed like he walked off the set of Guys and Dolls, I was like, what is he? He's wearing like a pinstripe jacket, but still those super tight jeans.
That's your hot dog outfit. That's what it is.
During this commotion, he sees a teddy bear, which kind of throws him over the edge.
Mm.
And we don't know why until later in his weird hallucinogenic dreams where we see that he had a teddy bear when he was a kid.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. What is this where he's breaking bats? That must be on the bad guys. Not the bad guys, those jabronis that are downstairs.
Yes, okay, exactly.
He breaks the bat with them.
This is kind of quickly diffused where she's like, Dad, you broke my door. This guy's not a creep. You got to go. And that's it. It's just like Tony Curtis being like, hey, I'm in this movie. Don't worry. You'll see me later. But he got to go.
But it is fun because he busts in and his whole thing is, again, he's the dad. And he's like, again, Tarzan is just Tarzan. He's like, I'm Tarzan of the jungle. And Tony Curtis is like, you're a fucking nut. And I don't want you anywhere near my daughter. Put some clothes on and I'll see you soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that night, the hooligans from downstairs, outside, I'm not sure, they come up to possibly murder Tarzan.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, he just steals their bat and breaks it.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy's like, man, that's my bat. And I love how Tarzan goes, well, now you have two of them. And he makes them give him all of their weapons. But all he takes is one knife, Jamie.
Yeah, he comes back, that's all he needs. That's all he needs.
He says, take the rest of your weapons. And it was just a misunderstanding, I guess. Bye.
No, he's kind of schooled them. And then he looks at her and he says, you're never going to have to worry about them again. Right? He's out to protect her. Right?
Yeah. I also want him to go, until I find my mom.
Yeah, exactly. And then back. I'm going to have to go.
After that, I got to run.
What is this? Jane and her dad were supposed to have business together. Oh, yes, right.
She was supposed to be a partner of private detective business?
Yeah.
Okay. This is when they're having their hot dog walk and talk outside.
Well, he goes for the hot dog walk and talk because Jane, they meet up again and the dad's like, I thought you'd be rid of this guy. And Jane's like, no, you don't understand. He just helped me out. He protected me. I told you, he's a good guy. And
most of Tony Curtis's lines of dialogue in this movie are like, I'm starting to like this guy.
Yeah. And he's
starting to like this monkey.
So, and Tony's name is Archie in the movie, but he makes the Tarzan called him Archibald or something like that.
Archibald is his name. That's a running gag. Yeah. Everybody calls him Archie, but he's like, my name's Archibald.
And then he also
calls Cheetah, what, Peanut or something? What does he call him? Chiquita?
Chiquita. And he calls Tarzan Jungle Man. Hey, Jungle Man. Yes. I knew I liked you, Jungle Man. But this time they go out for hot dogs because Tony Curtis is happy that Jungle Man helped protect his daughter. He's like, you know what? This calls for me to take you guys to dinner, to lunch. And they go for hot dogs. And yes, Tarzan is very confused because he's like, you guys eat dogs? And again, this actor's like eyes, like facial expressions, right? When he... You guys eat dogs? And then again, because he's Tarzan, he just sniffs the hot dog for a long time and doesn't really want to eat it. And she's like, actually, it's made from cows.
And so he takes the hot dog and throws it away.
Yeah, because I wouldn't.
He's a total vegetarian. Yeah. And then he walks around with the hot dog bun. Yeah. Never eats it. And I'm like, no, that guy's not ingesting carbs.
No, how do you keep apparent. That figure? It's a keto diet for sure.
Yeah, you know that guy's just eating steak and vegetables all the time.
Not even. He doesn't eat steak. It's made of the meat. He's so in tune with the animals. He's eating plantains.
I'm talking about the actor. I'm sorry.
Oh, the actor, not the real Tarzan. Okay.
So they walk and talk through the New York City streets, and Tony Curtis has the idea. He's like, hey, the charity you're talking about.
And they're having a party.
The bad guys, potentially, they're having a party. Mm-hmm. How are we going to get in? And people pull up in, a catering van or something? Because I thought they were going to work this party. I didn't know what was going on.
They decide, and now, again, we get a little hint that these two have some undercover detective background. But we don't know. They arrive to this party, and now it is a costume party. Later, we see everyone's in this sort of like regal period pieces, except the guy who I think is throwing the party, greeting everybody, is in a banana suit. And even Tarzan is like, what is that man doing in the banana suit?
I totally missed that. No, I totally missed that.
When they show up at the party and they're parking the car and they're like, okay, this is it. And you could see people are gathering for the party. There is a man welcoming people and he's straight up in a banana costume. And Tarzan Tarzan says, why is that man wearing a banana suit? And they're like, because it's a costume party. But then, like you said, the rest of the costume party is not goofy costumes like that. So you're just like,
So they're all dressed like they're in, this is going to make me sound very uneducated, Thomas Jefferson times. Okay. They're having a party. Yes. Like, that's how everybody's dressed.
Except Tarzan.
Even the main bad guy's wearing, like, military garb. Yes. Where I'm like, was he in the military? Is he dressed in costume too?
Right.
And then there's Tarzan, who's just wearing a loincloth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just about enough. Yeah.
And Tony Curtis is dressed like Liberace. Mm-hmm. And Jane is dressed like, I don't know, she's just wearing a ball gown and a wig.
A weird hair thing situation happening. And I didn't see that she was wearing a glass slipper, or was that a thing to just make her know that he liked her?
You don't need to see.
She has
this.
Her own special entrance, too, into the party.
Yeah, they play trumpets as she descends these stairs.
Which I don't understand.
And has totally, again, Tarzan's there, caught the eye of the bad guy.
Yes.
Who is like, wowee, I gotta dance with this woman. Jamie, can I read you just a couple of their lines of dialogue?
Sure.
Because I couldn't believe it. They're dancing. So first of all, Tony Curtis and Tarzan are on a mission to find the monkey.
Right.
Right? So they're sneaking around, and she's there, I guess, to distract
the main bad guy. Right.
They're dancing together, and he at one point says, and I will try and deliver these lines the way they did. You have a sensuous mouth. So do you. Later. At midnight, we have fireworks. I like fireworks.
Yeah, the chemistry between them is so terrible.
there's nothing. Also, they're spinning. Half of their lines are delivered when they're facing the camera. The other half when they're away. It's terrible. Yeah. Tarzan, while they're doing this, sometimes remembers life, like pre-jungle.
Yes,
like
flashbacks.
He's watching the party, and he's like, I remember these fancy parties back in the 1740s.
Yeah. Like, again, he was put in a time capsule when he was in the jungle.
I would not be surprised if that's the plot of the TV show.
Maybe.
A time capsule. And then buried with some diaries and like Snicker bars or something. And then they dig him up 50 years later and raise him. So she loses a shoe just like Cinderella.
Yeah, it's a weird.
And finds them sneaking around. And they can't
get
into a
door. Well, they start sneaking around because...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he smells everything. Yes. Oh, yeah, he smells animals.
He can smell animals.
He has to backflip through the door.
That's the only way he enters rooms.
He doesn't just run into...
You didn't notice that? Whenever he enters a room, he does, like, this Tarzan, like, gymnastics routine.
Just the idea that he backed up and... I was even like, oh my God, he's going to totally battering ram this door down. Nope. He turns around, does a gymnastics routine, mm-hmm. and then flies through the mm-hmm. doors, and alerting no one to the fact that they're there. There's a party going on right downstairs. He just smashed a pair of double doors to the ground. True. Nobody cares. Nobody notices. Nobody.
No.
It's amazing. He sees a bunch of animal heads on the wall and is sad for just like half a moment.
Well, he sees the animal heads, but is this where Tony Curtis is later when Tony Curtis sees even more? When Tony Curtis sees the brains in the jars? Or is that later?
That's later because they find... This is just a room with animal heads. Okay. And then he's like, I smell a live animal somewhere. And they found like a secret doorway, like in Scooby-Doo suddenly, that takes them to a lab where monkeys are in cages.
Oh, it's bad news though, right? Yeah. So sad.
I was a little bummed out. I was like, oh man, I'm not going to see Matthew Broderick and monkeys in cages. I was like, all right, well, it's missing one of those two things. But with this Dreamboat, I don't miss Matthew Broderick.
No, you're not missing. No, no, no. I agree. Matthew Broderick's a pimple on this guy's ass. I'll tell you that right now.
There's a funny part of this movie where after they go into the room with the animal heads mm-hmm. and then he smells real animals, Tarzan doesn't ever jump out the window. And Tony Curtis looks at his daughter and goes, I'm going to climb down the drain pipe. Cut to him just outside talking to Tarzan. I'm like, there's no shot of him crawling down a drain pipe.
But we like to imagine that's what he did, right? Yeah, I guess.
This is where, as we said earlier, the movie becomes like an action movie for a minute and a half.
Mm.
Because they have to shoot at people. I think Tony Curtis kills a man. I think he shoots a man to death in this scene. A man dressed as a cowboy.
Oh, he might.
As they're making their escape with Cheetah.
Yes, they get Cheetah.
Tony Curtis at one point drops something. And Tarzan goes, oh, what is that that fell out of your pocket? And Tony Curtis goes, oh, it's my ID. Let's just take that. And I was like, why is this scene in this movie? And it comes into play later, but it was so dumb. Tarzan is also shot during yes. their escape.
Yeah, a bullet gets him. And there's a intense scene it's where so Tony long. Curtis is removing the bullet, I think.
It's so long. With like a butter knife or a steak knife.
He knows how to
kitchen.
Do it. And Tarzan.
He says, I've taken out hundreds of bullets in my day.
It's part of the job, yo. It's part of the job. Amazingly, there's been no pain quite like this ever for Tarzan, even with his growing up in the harshness of the jungle.
I guess not.
And this sets off his infection, fevers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Having all these nightmares. And now this is a very sweet bonding time for him and Jane, because Jane is taking care of him, wiping the sweat from his brow, right?
Yes.
Helping cool him down, hushing him as he wakes from his scary dream.
Tarzan. Mm-hmm.
His scary dream of being on an airplane with his wits, mommy and daddy. Yep.
I assume occasionally while she knows he's out cold, sticking her hand down his pants.
I mean, at least.
at least a handful of times.
At least just smelling that beautiful head of hair of his. Anyway, let's see. Jane, I said touching time with Jane and Tarzan. And then I have The chimp and Tony Curtis watch TV and snuggle together. They're getting some good times.
Adorable.
Mm-hmm. It's very sweet.
As I said earlier, they eat popcorn together. Mm-hmm. They eat. I love how there's just a bowl of popcorn and a plate of raisins just laying out at this woman's apartment. They watch cartoons together. They then make breakfast together. And his daughter is talking to him. Tony Curtis cannot stop looking at this monkey in this scene. And the big giant smile on his face. He tries to make him eat bacon and eggs for some reason. It was absolutely delightful watching Tony Curtis act opposite a monkey because he really looked like he was having so much
fun. I agree. I think he was genuinely amused and charmed by this monkey.
Yes.
This is when he then decides that whether for the sake of Tarzan or for the sake of Cheetah, he is on the case. He is ready to do some of his deep dive investigative work, which
his
includes
patented disguise work,
his Super Mario mustache, and kind of overalls. Right? I guess he goes in as a worker. This is where I was like, "What is overalls. Happening? What's happening?" Yeah. He goes in.
Also, you mentioned it very quickly. They go outside. This gang's still there. We watch a dog chase a monkey around. And this tough, tough New York City gang, their attack dog is a yellow lab. I really there were so many funny things. I was like, this has to be a joke. It's got to be a joke, right?
Maybe it was played for it. Yeah.
I found it great. And not to spoil my favorite quick moment of this movie, but when they go to the airport and we get a shot in the back seat of a monkey and a dog
curling
each other,
up, it's pretty sweet. I agree.
I loved it.
It's adorable. I know it. But first we have this, whatever this investigative work is that Tony Curtis's character is doing to get to the bottom of what this bad guy from Brightmoor is doing.
We see it later. He finds a file cabinet full of, I guess, criminal purchases that he takes pictures of. But they're on to him. Like, the bad guys know who he is because they zoomed in on that ID that he dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So the bad guy tells one of his henchmen, like, go to... Oh, this is a great line where I'm like, well, this line was delivered incorrectly and you just kept this scene in. The main bad guy's on the phone with the guy who does the gas leak in his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, the bad guy tells him something like, yeah, I see him. I know he's going back to his office. The main bad guy goes, I think it's time you had an accident and make it look creative. And I was like, that's not how you should say it's time he has an accident.
Not you.
It makes it sound like he's going to shit himself or something like that. And no, they just left it in the movie. They're like, that's fine. That's fine. It's a TV movie. That take done. Let's move on to the next scene. Did you notice that at one point Tarzan brings back flowers and Jane's like, oh my God, flowers. And Tarzan's like, I'm going to eat these motherfuckers. Shut up.
Yeah. Well, because she's falling for him more and more. And again, he's just gorgeously oblivious. But yeah, he brings home flowers. She's like, oh my God, can you get more perfect? And he's like, it's lunch is what I brought home.
He basically throws it in a pot on the stove.
Yeah. This is what, because he's a vegetarian or vegan, I'm assuming.
He doesn't harm
no animals. Yeah. But so what the shit that goes down is that Tony Curtis is in an accident, essentially. The building he's doing his undercover work in, there's an explosion.
There's an explosion. Yes, mm-hmm. There's a gas. They turn the gas on in his office. He walks into his office, sniffs around like, I think that smells like gas, turns on the light, and it comically, like from the outside, we see the windows blow out, fire everywhere.
And how does Jane see it? Was it on the news? Because all of a sudden she's like, that's where my dad is, and her and Tarzan rush over. And Tarzan, again, he's dressed, and he knows he's got to go into the midst of the fire, so he takes his pants off, and he's just got his loincloth, and he goes running in.
He runs into this building. Nobody tries to stop him.
No.
I love how he tries to go up the steps. One fireman turns around and goes, hey, you're not supposed to be in here.
Mm.
And then he, like, climbs up the elevator shaft, sees that Tony Curtis appears to be unharmed. He was in an explosion. He doesn't even have, like, comical, like, soot on his face. No, he's just laying under a file cabinet.
And then he gets carried out. by Tarzan. And it is very moving. Like we said, we kind of go do some deep dives into relationships. Like Tarzan has clearly not just a deep relationship with the animals he's with, but he's got some fond memories of his wealthy 17th century parents.
Yep.
And then Jane has really mixed emotions about her dad. When her dad is down and possibly unconscious, and is unconscious and they don't know what's
possibly
happened.
Dead. We don't know. The doctor has no idea. They don't know what's going on.
She has all these feelings of guilt, of not being more there for him, of telling him more that she loved him, of being less annoying.
Him I loved him. Yeah. And even Tarzan, this big, beautiful dummy, knows to say, well, he knew. Like, even that, I was like, wow, Tarzan. All right, that's pretty good.
So empathetic,
pretty good
little
there.
Tarzan. Yeah. Right? Let's see.
And Tarzan, so she finally falls asleep, like, in the hospital on a very comfortable-looking couch in this hospital waiting room. And Tarzan gets up and leaves to basically, I don't know, take vengeance or whatever he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Go collect some clues.
This is all for Archie. Then his next moves is to kind of, is for the dad, for Tony Curtis.
Right? Oh, I was like, so that's to say, who's Archie? I think you're thinking of Cheetah.
Mm-hmm. No, now he's ready to defend, like, his name, like Archie's name, right?
Yes.
There's
a run-in with a homeless man. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, the cops, too. Isn't there a run-in with some cops? And then the monkey drives the car away. Like, some of this is like, what's happening?
Some of this is supposed to be played for laughs. But when the cops pull guns on Tarzan, because they're like, hey, isn't that the guy in the loincloth they're supposed to be looking for? And I was like, why? And then I went, oh, he did escape from prison several days ago. Uh-huh. And then suddenly Cheetah's running around, and these guys point their guns at a monkey. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like the monkey doesn't know what you're doing. And the monkey steals a police car.
Yes.
And knows how to drive.
Yeah, all the way from the jungle.
Encouraged by Tarzan in the backseat, who gives him helpful tips like drive, drive.
Yeah, that's all you need.
And there they go.
Yeah.
They eventually crash the police car, but the unthreatening gang takes the car then from them.
Yeah.
And like she gets film developed that her dad took of the criminal records.
Oh, yeah, they find a little thing of film, and that way this was in dad's pocket.
Right.
Yeah, so they're putting things together. Mm-hmm. They're starting to piece parts of this, quote, mystery thing together. Yeah.
And it all points to the villain that they already knew
was the villain
because he had the animals. I don't know why we needed any of this. Same. I guess just like attempted murder of her father got the viewers really involved in what's going on.
Right.
In case you weren't sure they were bad guys, just because we find out later they're cutting monkeys' heads off and scooping out their brains to feed to other chimps to make them smarter for reasons.
This is science.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. So they devise a plan. Tarzan and Cheetah are going to go in and, I guess, free the rest of the monkeys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she's going to go and be like a sex pot and kind of distract the villain.
But he's on to her, too.
He's like,
let's watch these videos.
Yeah,
let's
after he drinks champagne out of her shoe, where I was like, that's gross, dude.
Yeah.
It's a real creep move by him. And they watch videos of her father exploding.
Yeah, behind. And now she's like, oh, shit. He knows exactly who. Because he even says, I know who you are, and says her whole name. And she's like, And he's like, let's watch some videos. And I'm like, is this guy going to watch some kinky, like, jungle porn with her? What is he going to watch to get her going?
He's like, I know what you're into. I saw that Tarzan, dude.
No, but instead it's like all this footage from, like you said, the night that her dad got exploded.
Did you notice that they put this villain in such dorky glasses?
Yes.
He's got these big plastic framed glasses.
Did he remind you of Stephen King at all? The villain?
No. He does remind me of somebody later, and I found it so funny. So they're in the lab. I'll get there in just a second. Because they're in the lab, and they kind of like spring on Tarzan. Like Tarzan shows up in the lab and is like sneaking around and stuff. But suddenly Jane's sitting in the middle of the lab, tied to a chair, flanked by Dobermans.
Oh, right.
and a guy with a gun next to her and the villain. So this villain, Jamie, I could not stop thinking about this. This villain is wearing a gray suit, white shirt underneath, white shoes. He's got a red tie. He looks like Pee Wee Herman. Like, he's dressed exactly like Pee Wee Herman. When they're fighting later, I was like, this is funnier than I thought it would be. Think about this hulking Tarzan beating up Pee Wee Herman.
Taking down this nerd alert. Yeah. All that Tarzan. Yeah. This is when he uses his knife on him, though, right? Doesn't he use the knife
on him? He uses a knife on a guard.
Oh, okay.
Earlier. But yeah, they get away so easily. He has two scientists like try and strap Cheetah to a table. They like gingerly lay a belt over this monkey's chest and he gets out. Also, Jane appears to not be tied to the chair because she just stands up.
Mm-hmm.
And the ropes just like fall off of her. It's like they weren't even tied up.
They didn't have the time yet to get tied up.
They quickly subdue these bad guys and escape. And then it's like, let's hunt these people on my property with a lot of guns and explosions and helicopters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not very exciting.
No, it's kind of like, it's not quite like the going bananas ending where it's like all this action all at once, but it's a lot of like unnecessary action. Like, okay, I think we figured all this out and we know how this is going to end. And yeah, this is where I was like, okay. But I did like when Tarzan takes the bad guy and pounds his chest. And
it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
He beats this guy up. He does like wrestling moves. At one point, he has him up over his head and just slams him on the ground. Yeah, and as you
like
said,
WWE
beats
style.
His chest.
Yeah.
Then we see the bad guy get led into a police car, and he like quips like, "You got me this time, buddy.
Yeah.
But next time, I'll get you, Tarzan." That's right. I'm like, aren't you going to jail for a long
time? Jungle man, right? Oh, this is when they also find out because her dad's situation was tough and go, but psst, he's okay. He's all right now.
Well, right? They don't think so. They go into the hospital and the bed's empty.
Oh, yeah. Like,
first of all, I've seen this in 1,000 movies. Yeah. I know he's fine. Did you notice how quickly Tony Curtis was, I assume by some PA, pushed into frame? He zips it in his wheelchair at a dangerous speed right at Tarzan. It's like, this is a man who must be in his mid-70s. Don't push him on to set that
hard. Take it easy with this guy. Be ginger.
Yeah. He's fine. Tarzan says that he wants to return the chimps to the jungle. And also return to the jungle
himself.
That's
where he belongs. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes Jane a little sad. She gets it, but there's no reason for him to stay, right?
No.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess she's like, my last ditch effort is to put some lips on those lips and see what happens. It kind of works. Yeah. Like, it sort of works because even after the kiss, he's like, all right, that was great. I got to go, though. What makes him stay is Tony Curtis is like, I'll pay you minimum wage. Repaint my office.
The offer. So, yeah, he says his goodbye, and then he comes back one more time for another goodbye where she smooches him. And this is when she's painting the door. So she's going into practice with her dad.
She's like, putting her name on there.
Things have come full circle. Right. And he still is like, I'm going to leave. And she kisses him. And like you said, now they have like one more goodbye, I guess, that involves Tony Curtis. And Tony Curtis is like, I really wish you would stay. I could pay you minimum wage and you can kind of be like my handyman. And Tarzan's like, that sounds like a great idea, actually.
Like, what a great offer.
Oh, and all the food that the chimpanzee that Cheetah could want.
He says all the peanuts.
All the peanuts.
That Chiquita can eat. And I'm like, I guess that's a joke.
And then I guess that's a good deal because then he stays.
That's a good deal because a monkey hugs Tony Curtis, and I think that's how we freeze frame.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. Yep.
Because why not? At this point in the movie, why not end it that way?
That's all we need, right?
And that's it. Like that is a wrap on Tarzan in Manhattan, a movie we watched and I think enjoyed.
I agree. I'm going to go ahead and recommend it.
Me too. I really am.
A pleasant surprise.
Yeah. I think my expectations were so low.
Sure. From kind our of past any, monkey movies.
Yeah, kind of anything was good. I mean, you're talking about past movies. I'm talking about just somebody saying, hey, there's a made-for-TV movie called Tarzan in Manhattan. Already I'm expecting garbage. And it wasn't quite garbage. There was something charming and weird about it. And just knowing that it was played on TV. People sat and watched it.
Honestly, because you're right. Like, there, and Tony Curtis, like we said when we started, Tony Curtis does a great job in it. He's really doing his best. And there is something to say. I mean, it just is true. The look of this Tarzan helps immensely.
You can't get over this hot. You're not going
to
be able
to. You're going to want to watch it just for this sexy jungle man. I'm telling you, just watch it for that. And I don't have my recommendation, if I may go there.
Of course.
Is based off of just this guy. Again, we talked about this earlier, but I looked up the actor and then I looked up his tragic ending and I looked up his wife, and his wife's a little bit scandalous. In the Christian world, and there's a whole docuseries about her, and also a Lifetime movie starring Jennifer Grey about her.
What?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes, that I have not seen, but it's about her weird affiliation with the Christian church, and I guess she did some like diet culture thing with, I don't know if it had to do under the guise of being a Christian weight loss.
Is Jennifer Grey's name AY or EY? EY.
EY, I think her last name.
You know what I really want to know? In this movie, who plays her husband? Who did they cast as this guy?
So his wife, they weren't married till 2018. So she was married to somebody else before. So I don't know if some of these docuseries and this stuff has more of her first husband. But yeah, who's playing this if they do get that far?
All right. Yeah. I'll look it up at some point because I want to know. If Jennifer Grey is playing this woman, really want to know who they cast opposite her.
Yeah. Patrick Dempsey, maybe. I mean, not that he's a dreamy. But he is a dreamy McSteamy,
If they put a big goofy wig on Patrick Dempsey, I kind of want to watch that movie, actually.
What is your recommendation? Do you have a Tarzan recommendation?
No, I don't. There's a movie that is pretty popular now. It's out, and I think it's making the rounds on streaming, called Late Night with the Devil.
Oh.
Which is pretty good. I will say that that's a perfectly fine movie, but it reminded me of a movie made in 1992 called Ghost Watch, where it's like we're supposed to be watching a Halloween episode of kind of like a live show in England or Britland or whatever you want to call it. Where it's like, oh, we'll do this live call-in show and stuff like that. And we also have reporters out at a quote-unquote haunted house, and it ends up like being real. But they did broadcast it on live TV on Halloween as though it was like a real thing. Uh-huh. And it kind of freaked people out at the time. So, yeah, it was a fun idea. And the basic premise is very similar to the movie that is out now that people like. So check it out.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah. So we do not have – we're done with April. So let's put our every week episodes on the back burner briefly. We will have an announcement at the end of May about – lots of episodes coming your way, let's say.
Sure.
But we're back to our every other week format. And Jamie, May is National Physical Fitness Month.
I can't wait.
So we're going to watch a movie. It was between two movies. One was called Killer Workout, and the other one was called Death Spa.
Oh, boy.
And I asked our listeners, and they said Death Spa, and it wasn't even close.
Oh, boy.
So we're going to watch Death Spa.
Okay.
In 2 weeks from now.
All right. Spa coming at you.
Death Sounds Spa.
Sounds scary.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Follow us on all the stuff. We're all over the place. If, you know, and that's how you know if Matthew Broderick makes us change our plans for movies.
Yeah, because you get to see it on our socials.
Yeah, we will let you know far in advance. So hopefully you weren't just being like, well, I don't know how they're going to watch Project X. Right? Because I can't even watch it.
Believe me, audience, you'd much rather see this Tarzan guy than Matthew Broderick.
Yes. From what I remember about Project X, watching it as a kid, it was super boring.
Yeah.
This movie, not super boring.
Pretty entertaining, actually.
I hope next time I'm on with you, I hope there's a big poster of that guy in the back of your door. I gotta see if there was ever like a poster of him dressed
like
as Tarzan.
Teen Beat style, like the inside of the magazine, but folded out 10, yes. 12 times.
Just, yep. Yeah, staples right in the middle of the fold.
Kissy
there.
Marks on it where I'm like, mwah, mwah, I love you. What's his name? Joey Logo or something like that?
His name's Tarzan, Jamie.
All right.
All right, everybody. We will see you again in 2 weeks when Jamie's got a picture of, I think you called him Tony Loco, on her wall. But until then, have a great 2 weeks.
That's my target.
100% that's how you signed out of the other Tarzan movie. I guarantee you. I'm willing to make that bet right now. Down in Kenya where the Maasai roam and the grass grows tall on the bell. In our old colonial home, we drank our bitters while the empire fell.
I
was about to say, I hope everyone appreciates what we've done for you this month, but it's like people dared me to do this. Nobody wanted it.
No.
Nobody said to me, you should do an entire month of monkey movies, because how bad could monkey movies have been
in the
80s?
Well, I will say.
Please lead with, this is the greatest thing you've ever seen.
No. When it was open. Okay. So. I thought Project X, I've heard a lot about it. I don't ever remember seeing it, but I knew it was Broderick, and it was. Yeah. I was a little bummed that we didn't get to experience another young Matthew Broderick, right. This time with an ape, feature.
But instead he got so mad and he was like, Sarah Jessica Parker, did you know that these people are going to talk about another movie of mine? I can't let that happen. I have to erase it from the internet.
That was very good, actually. And that's what he did. Bueller, anyone? It's not there. Project X, can't find it. And then I looked up the other movies, monkey movies from the 80s, and we did one of the Tony Danza one.
The premiere.
Right? I feel like that one comes up.
The highest, the dizzying heights of the monkey movies.
We got there.
We hit already.
But I forgot, and it's not, you said it, it's not our speed, so to say, because it's an excellent movie.
Yeah.
But Gorillas in the Mist, what a great movie about monkeys. And more than monkeys, the apes, it's the life story, right? Of I forget which, not Jane Goodall, but another sort of ape whisperer woman.
Another ape pioneer.
Yes, played by the wonderful Sigourney Weaver. I got so excited because I loved that movie when I first saw it. I had it on VHS. I thought it was very special, the relationship she had.
It's very special, but it's like...
It's too good.
Okay.
It's too good.
We can kick around. I think we've proven that we can kick around and make fun of any movie, but she gets murdered at the end of that movie.
She does. It's a heavy movie.
And I don't know. A heavy, sad movie about trying to protect monkeys from poachers, where in this one I was like, oh, we're not going to get any of that, but they murder his mother?
Mom! Mama!
I couldn't believe that.
His little flashbacks.
A tiny person in a monkey suit is his mom.
I loved it.
Amazing.
I loved it. I. How handsome is this Tarzan?
Holy shit.
Hubba. Like, right? It's hard to focus with those eyes and that hair.
I also love the fact that not at no moment in this movie do people think he's just like a normal person. Because the moment he gets in her cab, she's like, holy shit. Like, she can't even believe that this hunk of a man is in front of her.
He's a handsome spectacle, this Tarzan. I mean, even more handsome than the Tarzan that got seduced by Bo Derek. You're verklempt. He's so exciting. I'm really, to think about. I know.
Yeah, no, he's more 80s Guess Jeans handsome than the guy that was in the Bo Derek movie. Like, this guy, he should have been pulled into some sort of photo studio the moment he got off the bus or the train or the plane in Manhattan. Immediately put him in a studio and we're like, we got to strip this guy down and start taking pictures of him.
Well, he does. When push comes to shove, I do love that throughout this movie, he just loves dropping trowel. Takes his pants off and gets those loincloths is underneath anything he wears. And he is ready to take his pants off and just Tarzan it up. Even in the big city.
It's wonderfully, it's wonderfully refreshing.
It's wonderfully sexy
in an industry where it's constantly like, really, did they have to dress her like that in this movie?
Yeah.
This guy, every time it's like, oh no, it's time for Tarzan to go into action. He's like, this tight t-shirt is going to restrict my movement, so I better take this off. And jeans, no thank you, mister.
No, I don't need those. Not for the kind of work I'm going to be doing. Hoo-wee.
Absolutely.
When he's in the jail and busts out and everybody in jail just watches him take his pants off and break the window and then jump out into the Hudson River, I'm like...
This whole movie, I was like, what is happening? Why is any of this happening? Tony Curtis. I want to know what the wardrobe department did with Tony Curtis in this movie.
How about that party they go to? I think that was just so Tony Curtis could dress like that.
It really was. Yeah. I couldn't believe there wasn't a Liberace joke at all in this movie.
Well, what a great last minute pick for us. What a great switch up, I think. I mean, I don't want to reveal too much about how I felt and I mean, you can only feel it is a TV movie,
right.
I think
it was a pleasant surprise, like something where I was so entertained while watching it. I think it's just because I went in with the lowest expectations.
Sure.
We saw one Tarzan movie. I'm sure I saw some of the old ones and I wasn't really looking forward to it. I wasn't that excited. No. But I texted you 10 minutes in. There's a song called like "Don't Touch My Monkey" or whatever, and I was like, "All right, I'm all
this
in."
This I'm
now.
In for, and you were. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Plus,
all right. Should I just start?
Starting us out, and I'm walking us through?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's why I also texted. Take good notes.
I did my best.
Okay. I took way more notes than I should have for a movie called Tarzan in Manhattan. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies. We are an 80s movie podcast.